Blog Talk Radio. You have tuned in to Home, Ellen Orme Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me. Why don't you just come right on in and make yourself right at home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I am just so glad and excited that you were able to join me on today, and we're just looking for God just to meet us again in another glorious fashion on today. And I believe God have a word for you. Yes, you on today. And so I want to say I thank God for you and all my listeners around the world and those that are here in the States and those that are tuning in and logging in even right now. I just want you to know I'm excited about God and excited about what God is going to do in and through your life. Yes. Your life. So all of my guests that is logging in, I just want you to know I am just so excited for you. So thank God for you being with us and being here with us on today. I know God is going to greatly, greatly bless you. Now, we have a great lesson on today, something that I really believe that God has for us during these times and days in which we're living in, where we're living in a time where the economics of the United States are just in a turmoil and a lot of change and transitioning is taking place. And I tell you, it is a time for us, as never before, for us to have our hearts and mind turned towards God as never before and having an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto our church. So on today, we're going to be talking about faith on parade. Faith on parade. So I want you to grab your Bibles. Again, I thank God for my guests. Thank God for Sister Barbara and the other guests that are logged in, Sister Robin Lynn, and all of my beautiful guests and covenant partners. I want you to know God is going to bless you. So let's take a look at on today. Our lesson is going to come from Hebrews chapter number 11, the verses number 1 through 3, verse 6, verse 8. Then we're going to look at verse 32 through 38. And it reads on this line, verses number 1 and 2, 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, we're going to look at verse 32 down to verse number 38. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, of Samson, of David, and also Samuel, and of the prophets, and Jephthah, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, attained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scorning, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in skins, sheepskins, goatskins, and being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. So far the reading of the scripture. Now our key verse that we'll be looking at will be that of verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now let's take a look here, because it's vital for us as children of God to have faith. Because unless we have it, it's impossible to please God. We must have faith. And even God admonished her, the word said that when God come back, will he find faith? So here as children of God, faith is very, very key for us as children of God. As we look through the living word and how that we can live victoriously through the word of empowerment from these biblical principles and lesson, exploring the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for that today in today's living. Now, why do we often struggle when we try to explain and understand faith? Perhaps it is because faith is an abstract concept. In other words, it is thought of as being apart from any particular object. If faith was concrete, it would not be difficult to understand or explain. But faith does not have any physical form. Faith is intangible. It cannot be touched or seen. And that's why many times we struggle with it, because it's something that you can't really explain sometime or even touch or even really, really have any physical form. What is faith? Well, as we study today, this lesson will show a lot of meaning that men and mechanics of faith. We will attempt to give the definition that will provide handles to grip faith abstractness. We will give an example of people, the power, and the performance of faith. In studying the people of faith, we will look upon the main characters of faith enumerated in Hebrews 11. This chapter often refers as the faith chapter, where the word faith occurred 24 times, featured 19 heroes of faith. It mentions 16 directly by name and 3 indirectly. We will look at the 9 of these heroes of faith. We also will study the mechanics of faith observed in the word, how that by faith they subdued kingdom and wrought righteousness and obtained promises. Not only will we see how faith affected human affairs, but we will know how faith affected human attitude and action. Now, as we look here, and I want you to grab a hold to this because it's key. The meaning of faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11 and 1 state faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The smell of formaldehyde remind many people of 8th grade biology class and the first frog that was dissected. Dissection is helpful in understanding the autonomy of man. To dissect faith is to find that it is companioned as desire. Although faith is much more than desire, no one has faith for anything that they do not first desire. So you must first have desire. Desire reaches from what is not to what is. It is a feeling of something that we do not have. Desire is here, and the object of desire is over there. Now, the first step towards faith is the expectation, which, like desires, also reaches. But expectations go beyond desire. Expectation is more than a feeling. It is an anticipation. Hope is a desire with expectation. Desires want something. Expectation look for something. But hope wants and look for something. Hope then incorporates desires and expectation and accompanies faith. But hope is not faith. Now, consider a concrete difference between faith and hope, where desire and expectation have to reach. Faith is there. It is the substance of things hoped for. With faith, there is a certain amount of participation in things unrealized. Hope is anticipation. Faith is participation. Faith is not limited to the realm of time and space. Therefore, we are not reaching, we are there. Many people have hope when they think they have faith. When a person desires healing and expecting healing, he is hoping to be healed. But when he has faith in God for healing, he knows that he will be healed. So, do you see the resounding difference? I know it's deep, but hang in there with us on today. Faith sees it. Faith also sees it. Faith celebrates it. In other words, faith envisions, faith encompasses, and faith enjoys even before it becomes a reality. Such is the evidence of the substance. So here, what you want to do and think as to write down or begin to realize that faith, you're going to be able to envision it. You will encompass it and enjoy it before it even become a reality. Now, Abraham held Isaac in his heart before he held him in his arms. We must seize, S-I-F-E-I-Z-E, that for which we are believing and not let it go until it becomes a reality. Now, I want us to stop here because I want you to be able to utilize that faith, to be able to see yourself having it. In other words, you may have a desire for a car. See yourself driving in that vehicle with the keys in your hand, driving down the street in it before you even get it. That is that substance. Now, let's see here. Let's look at Hebrews 11:2. For by it, talking about faith, the elders attained a good report. It was through their faith. Faith was the tool by which a good report was implemented. Faith was the vehicle by which the elders reached a destination of deeds. With this tool and with this vehicle, they were able to accomplish much more than they could otherwise. By faith, they were able to lasso their elusive dreams and pull them into the corral of reality. By faith, they was able to obtain a good report. Now, there's maybe things that, and I want you to begin to envision those things that you're desiring God to do for you. And I want you to begin to bring it in close to your heart, mind, and soul, and things so that it can become closer to you as that reality when God really brings in the manifestation. It's not what you, it is the thing that you can envision and believe God for by it, faith. Now, why faith is necessary? Without faith, we know it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Faith is the basis to a relationship with God, For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. No one can prove the existence of God by facts. His existence must be accepted by faith. If something can be proven, faith is not needed to accept it. The first four words of the Bible provide the answer to everything about the creation that cannot be proven. In the beginning, God, Genesis 1 and 1. He is the answer to all that is unanswerable. When our minds go back as far as they can go, God is the answer to everything past that. When our minds go forward as far as they can reach, God is the answer to all beyond that. Faith is the basic to salvation. And for salvation to be legitimate or ultimate of religion, it must be predicated on faith. Religion is defined as belief in God. In science, things are proven. In religion, things are believed. Not only must we believe that God is, but we must believe that he will reward us if we diligently seek him. Believing that he will reward or respond is indicated of a belief that he existed. Biblical faith in God, therefore, also includes a view of his character and relationship to humanity. The men of faith. Now, let's take a look at the men of faith, the elders. The Bible states, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Hebrews 11 and 4. Now, let's look here. Abel, the two sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, offered sacrifices to the Lord. Abel, who was a keeper of the sheep, brought up the firstling of his flock. Cain, on the other hand, who was a tiller of the ground, brought of the fruit of the ground, Genesis 4. God accepted Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain. We do not know for certain just how Abel knew to sacrifice an offering with blood, but the Bible said, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, Hebrews 11 and 4. Apparently, God rejected Cain's sacrifice because it was bloodless. Hebrews 11 and 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God has translated him. For before his testimony, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Hebrews 11 and 5. Now, Enoch, marching across the stage of faith in Hebrews 11, was probably the least known hero of faith, Enoch. The Old Testament tells us how old he was, who his father was, and who he begat. But added to this rather scant bibliography is a more important bit of information. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him, Genesis 5, verses 24. This taking was called translation by the writer of Hebrews. But more important than the clarification of what happened to Enoch is the statement, by faith, Enoch was translated. This qualified him to be included among the faithful listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, let's take a look at another one of the great heroes of faith in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. Verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, let's take a look here at Noah's life. Noah, he was third on the list of the 16 people of the faith of Noah. In contrast to the short record of Enoch, the scripture gives many details of Noah's life. He is remembered for believing God and for building an ark by faith. When God told him that he was going to destroy the world with flood, Noah believed and responded to God. Noah's faith was outstanding for many reasons. Number one, he believed that God was going to bring a flood, even though it never rained on earth before. And you can see Genesis chapter number 2, verses 5 through 6. He preached rain when people knew only dew. It was possible that during the more than 100 years Noah worked building the ark, that he never heard God speak to him again until the construction was finished. Noah boarded his boat with seven members of his family and a group of animals, and God shut the door. And we'll find that over in Genesis chapter 7, verse 7 through 9 and verse 16. Noah was shut up in a structure, a block and a half long, 450 cubits, for 7 days before it rained. You'll see Genesis 7, verse number 10. Surely Noah exhibited great faith in God. He had to, not knowing, never seeing it rain before, but he moved and obeyed God. Now, the next thing is the fathers of faith. And we're going to look at them. We just looked at the elders of faith. Now we're going to look at the fathers of faith. Abraham. More words recount Abraham's faith in Hebrews 11 than any of the other heroes of faith. His faith that affected his justification was also the subject of Romans 4. In fact, Abraham had become synonymous with the concept of faith. The writers of Hebrew beautifully summarize the life of Abraham, telling how by faith he separated from his home and family. He sojourned in a land of promise. He spared even Isaac and prepared to sacrifice him unto the Lord. What a challenge is evident in the life of this faithful father. Now, the scripture said over in Romans 4, verses 19 through 21 stay, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, Joseph, only 23 words describe the faith of Joseph in Hebrews 11:22. These brief words refer to his father, his faith in God, promised to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt and establish them in the land he had promised to Abraham. And so here Joseph is picking it up. Now, Hebrews 11, verse number 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Although Joseph had lived in Egypt since he was a young teenager, he knew that God had promised to give his family all the land of Canaan. As he lay dying, he told his brother, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Genesis 50 and 24. Joseph then took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, and God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bone from hence. Genesis 50, verse number 25. Now, the next point, Moses. Moses is the second to Abraham in the number of words attributed to him in the recounting of his faith in Hebrews 11. Four areas are highlighted. Number one, his refusal to accept the adopted position as the son of the ruler's daughter. Number two, his forsaking Egypt. Number three, keeping the Passover. And number four, crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. Now, the word choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, and esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasure in Egypt, which you find over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, have inspired and challenged biblical readers for centuries. It was faith that gave Moses courage to confront Pharaoh. It was through faith that he obeyed God's command to keep the Passover so that the firstborn of each family would not die. Coupled with this was his faith to believe that God would deliver the people of Israel in spite of the pursuing Egyptian army. Hebrew 11, verse 28 through 29. Now, here we have just looked at Abraham and looked at Joseph as well as Moses, who were the fathers of faith. Now we're going to look at another category of the faithful, and we're going to look at Gideon, we're going to look at David, and we're going to look at the life briefly, a snapshot of the life of Samuel. And so as we look at these faithful, I want you to glean from them how they please God. Gideon, although is referred to by name only in the list of the six Hebrews heroes of faith in Hebrews 11:32, he scored well in the arena of faith. From insignificant in a vanished Israel, he leaped to prominence, and God used him mightily, threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianite, who at that time was ruler over Israel. Gideon has a heavenly visitation. What a challenge God gave Gideon that shocked the soon-to-be sixth judge of Israel. By the call of God, Gideon rallied the downtrodden Israelite to overthrow the Gideon rule. Gideon, the Midianite rule, Gideon manifested his faith in God when he went against the superior force of the Gideons with a group of men that God had pared down from 32,000 to 300. And you can see that over in Judges chapter number 7. Gideon's faith was untaunted by the scaled-down army, for he was not trusting in numbers, but in the power of his God to deliver. Now, number two, now let's take a snapshot, look at David. David is the only king listed among the heroes of faith. It is interesting that although he was a wealthy and powerful king, he never became so wealthy and so powerful that he did not recognize his need to trust the Lord. Whether a shepherd boy against a giant or a king against alien country, he had faith in God for victory. And so, children of God, no matter what you're facing, no matter what is coming up against you, it's going to take your faith in God to overcome every battle in your life. Perhaps David was more remembered in the arena of faith for his slaying the giant, Goliath. He did not consider his lack of military experience or his lack of strength physically. Placing a stone in the sling, he believed that God would give him the victory. Although the word faith does not occur in the book of Psalms, the word trust appears various forms 71 times. David believed in trusting the Lord. Now, Samuel lived and ministered under the administration of two kings, Saul and David. For his miraculous conception and the birth to his death, Samuel amplified great faith as he served Israel as a prophet, priest, and judge. Samuel manifested his faith in God as he delivered several soul-jarring messages to Eli, Israel, and the king Saul. Those prophecies were not easy to deliver, and they required faith on Samuel's part. They involved judgment and information that was unpleasant to the hearer. And so here, they had to be found faithful, even in the midst of the fact that the thing that they was called to do was very unpleasant. And so sometimes the things that sometimes God calls us to do may not be pleasant nor make you popular. But you have to trust and believe God, that God is going to bring it to pass. Now, let's look at another aspect of faith. As we have looked at the faithful, Gideon, David, and Samuel, now we're going to move forward to the mechanism of faith, how it affects human affairs. It said, who through faith subdued kingdom, over in Hebrews 11, verse 33. Now let's take a look here. The natural man, in his carnal orientation, considers faith as a weak man's alternative. He understands only forces. Therefore, when faith manifests itself in a force that he cannot ignore, it confuses him. Faith has always confused the carnal-minded. It does not seem logical that the unseen can be powerful, but such is faith. Now, kingdoms with far superior forces and material have been overthrown by vastly outnumbered and ill-equipped armies when the latter trusted in God. Some trusted in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, Psalms 20, verses number 7. Hebrews 11:33, who through faith wrought righteousness, Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith Noah built an ark for salvation of his family and thereby inherit righteousness, much like Abraham who believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Noah's faith generated righteousness, who through faith attained promises, Hebrews 11:33. Abraham is the hero that everyone thinks of when the word faith and promises are mentioned together. The word promise and promised occur 5 times in 9 verses that tells of Abraham's faith in Romans chapter number 4. He was, well as many other heroes of faith, attained promise through faith. And so, child of God, God is going to use your faith to birth out that thing that you're believing God for. And we must use our faith. And sometimes our faith lay dormant because we look at the mountain that we're fighting or have to climb, or the Goliath that is standing, because the situation is so huge and so large, even in the 21st century, our faith is still yet relevant to birth forth, to pull out those things that we trust in God. We must see it, and we must believe it to see it, and see the world have it backward. You must see to believe, but no, in faith, you must believe first. Then you'll see the manifestation of it and things. So many testimonies I can even share, personal testimony about faith and just trusting and believing God. I tell you, that is an unstoppable force. Your faith in God is an unstoppable force. You must wrap your heart around your faith and bring it forth and watch God birth it out in your life. Now, let's look how it can affect our human attitudes. Out of weakness we're made strong, Hebrews 11, verse 34. The story of Deborah and Barak offer a beautiful example of weakness made strong. They jointly serve Israel as the fourth and the fifth judge. You can see Judge 4. It was during the reign of Jabin, king of Canaan, while he ruled over Israel, that Deborah, a prophetess, called Barak. Deborah pleaded, "Have not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, I will draw unto thee Syria, the captain of Jabin's army, and I will deliver him into thine hand?" And Barak said unto her, "If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go." Judges 4, verses 6 through 8. Deborah accompanied Barak, and they, out of their weaknesses, became strong in the Lord and enjoyed a great victory over the king. This victory broke the back of Canaan's rule over Israel and enabled the people of Israel to reestablish themselves with Deborah and Barak ruling over them. And so here it is. They joined themselves together. Now, that's why the Bible said for us to not to forsake ourselves to assembling together, even more so as you see the day approaching. Now, let's look at the relevancy of that scripture for us today, is that when we come together, like Deborah and Barak came together, one may have been weak, and the other one may have been strong in their faith. And when they came together, it birthed out a greater force of faith because they came together on one accord. And so it is when we come together in fellowship together, and when we come together in sessions like this, it increases our faith. It enlarges our ability to believe God. It stirs our faith to go back. Even when you're facing the Goliath, now you can go back with greater faith, trusting and believing that God is and God will do what he said he would do, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen. It stirs. Now, let's look at another point. Hebrews 11, verse number 34. They waxed violent in fight. The sixth apostasy of Israel was brought on, as usual, by the people forsaking the Lord and serving other gods. And as usual, God allowed them to be sold into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites. Trying of the servitude and desiring to return to the Lord, the people asked exiled Jabin, the son of the harlot, to return and lead them to victory. They agreed that if they would lead them to victory, they would make him their leader. He returned and led them to victory and became the ninth judge of Israel. And you can see that over in Judge 11. Although Jephthah was also a mighty man of valor, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, Hebrews 11, 29, and amplified his courage. And Jephthah waxed violent in fight and defeated the children of Ammon. Now, sometimes we need God to amplify our courage, because you may have faith, but you don't have the courage to exercise that faith. And so sometimes you got to say, God, you know, increase my courage to execute your will, to do what you told me to do. I lack courage. And you can go back to God and say, God, increase my courage, my ability to believe you. Now, let's take a look here at the action. Faith will also affect human action. Faith would not be the dynamic entity that it would if it had not affect the action of people. Passive faith is not faith at all. Faith is like love, always causes action. Faith without works is dead, being alone, James 2 and 20. Now, faith is it causes an individual to move or to do something. And let's take a look and see here. Faith, Noah moved and prepared an ark. Abel, he offered. Abraham went out. Enoch pleads God. Joseph gave commandment. Moses chose to suffer. So here faith causes them to move or to act. And so it is, our faith must cause us to act and to move in order for God to respond. Amen. We must please God. We must move sometime. We must offer. We must go. We must give. We must choose. These things must be a part of our faith if we trust in and believe in God. If you're seeking God for that vehicle, we must go out and look or begin to search it out and seek it out. Whatever you believe in God for, what is your faith about it? How did you act with it? Or what did you do by faith? Now, it was one thing, I'm trusting God, even with my school. I'm completing my dissertation and rewriting some things and getting ready to send it back on. But before I got to that point, there's a certain paper in which the final dissertation must be on. And what I did is I went ahead by faith and I purchased a paper as an action of my faith, saying, Father, I'm believing you, God, that it's going to be done and it shall be done. It's already done in the heavenly realm. And now, Lord, I believe in you in the earthly realm that it's going to be done. So what I did, I went out and I purchased the paper for the finished work. Also, even for a building, I went out and I got the key. I didn't have the key. I just bought a key. I didn't have them to cut the key, but I bought a key. I put it on my key ring, and I said, God, this is an action of my faith that you're going to bless us with a building, and he blessed us with that building that we needed and things because it was an action of my faith that I was trusting and believing God. You must act on your faith, even if you have to go out and buy you a model car and things. It's an action of your faith. I normally do, and I've done in the past with people, prayer maps, mapping out what they believe in God for. And we did a prayer map and we mapped it out and things like that and believed God and things. And God brought those things to pass. So child of God, it's an action of your faith and things. As you act, it's not about what you got in your pocket, what's in the bank and things. But yes, those things are important and things. But sometimes God will supersede all of that to show you he's still yet God and still there sitting on the throne because you acted upon your faith. Now, a possession of faith alone will save no one. James asks, what does it profit, my brothers, or a man have faith? Man say he have faith and have not works. Can faith save him? James 2:14. Well, of course, the answer to that rhetorical question is that faith without action is not faith. Faith is inseparable from obedience, for by obedience we express faith. Obedience is the other side of faith. Works are the counterpart of faith. And so here we must demonstrate, if it's no more than writing a letter to God, God, I believe that you're going to do X, Y, and Z, that you're going to believe. That's an action of your faith. You releasing your faith to believe God. And one of the things that sometimes we happen, we allow the adversary to back us up against the wall and think that there's no way of escape or there's no way of coming out. But I come to beg the difference with you on today, child of God, that there is a way of escape and that God is able. But you must use your faith. Even as God told Moses, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Stretch forth your rod. And even if it's no more than taking your arm and saying, God, by faith I stretch forth my arm as my rod today to say to God, you will do it. And then just like Sarah said, God, I judge you faithful. It's according to your faith, so be it unto you. And so we must release our faith to trust and believe God. I remember even at one point in time, and things that I would even sometimes would go shopping and see things that I really, really liked and things. And I would tell God, I said, God, I said, I'm laying hands on this. When you bless me, this is my style, God. This is what I would like to have, dear Lord, and things. And just trusting and believing God and things. See things that I desire and do not have the money to get or attain or acquire. But by faith, I went to God and said, God, this is what I like. This is what I want and things. And I believe that you're going to bless me with it. And God would do it, not at my time, but at his set time. He would wait till those things come down almost on clearance and bless me with it and things like that because I believed him. That he would. Sometimes going in the store to go shopping, I go in there saying, God, you know where the blessing is. Lead me to the place of my blessing, God. And God would just order me, right? The Spirit of the Lord would just seem like just order me right to the place of the blessing. I remember we had a gala and all of the women at our church, I said, God laid in my heart to pray for you all, that everybody would get a dress and they would have a beautiful dress to go to the gala, and I prayed, and God was blessing the women to get dresses, and they got beautiful dresses, and some were getting dresses for just $20. One got one for $6, and I'm talking about $100 and $200 dresses for a ridiculous prices that God was blessing his people with. And I told God, I was several days before the gala, I said, God, you know, I prayed for everybody, and they got their dresses, and I said, Father, I don't have my dress, dear God, and I said, I want a beautiful dress, too. And I tell you, I kid you not, child of God, God blessed me to go to a store and on that day, and I began to look, and lo and behold, the Lord blessed me with a ridiculous blessing. I got a beautiful, formal, gorgeous dress for 97 cents. I kid you not. I paid a total of $1.08. That was including tax. All for the glory of my God. I tell you, I don't care what you got in your pocket. And think it could be $1.09. God bless me to get that dress for $1.08. And things. It was the tithe off of what the original price of that dress. So, child of God, it is true. Pay your tithe, give your offering. God will. I tell you, he just done things that literally have blown my mind and just overwhelmed me with his love. And I want God just to do something special in your life that he will overwhelm you with his love through your faith. Ah, shalatobo sheka, tandaraba sheka. Overwhelm your children, God. Overwhelm them with your love, Father. Let them taste and see of you, God, how good you will be to them that believe in you. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Lord, open that door. Make that way out of no way. Beat back the devil, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, let's look here and things because where we've been and where we're going here. Now, we're getting ready to bring closure, but I want you to know, child of God, it's your faith, just like Abraham, just like the fathers of faith, Abraham and Moses and Joseph. Against all odds, they had to look trouble in the faith, circumstance in the faith, unpleasant circumstances in the faith, and believe God in spite of all odds. Now, I come to tell you, child of God, we must believe God in spite of all the odds that are stacked against you. You got to believe God. Look down through the line of time and say, God, I judge you faithful. I judge that you will come through, dear God, just like you promised me that you would do. And keep speaking your faith in spite of circumstances, in spite of situations. God, I believe you. before you even tackle that test, or before you even tackle that project, before you even tackle that assignment, you should declare what you believe. Before you even tackle another day, when you wake up, you ought to declare, God, I declare you are my provider. God, you are my substance. God, you are my source. You are my strength. And once you begin to put God before you, God will do it. I even when I was in school and things, before I did my work, I put the word of God first. I read a scripture before I read my homework. I read a scripture before I did a paper and things. I kept God in the forefront of everything that I would do. And I invite you, child of God, and I offer that to you as well, to invite God into everything that you do. God is able. God is willing to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. God is able, child of God. What you need to do is release your faith and allow your faith to soar like an eagle in the face of adversity. See yourself there. See yourself victorious. See yourself being the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. And watch God bring it to pass. Everything that you find yourself fearing with, or find yourself trembling and in uncertainty, deal with those uncertainties and deal with those fears. Why are you fearing that way? Why do you have fear? And see, are you looking at reducing God to your ability? Are you reducing God to your resources? Are you reducing God to your means? Or are you allowing God to be God in that situation and not limit God as to how he wants to do it? God, we take the limits off, the unlimited abilities of God. He's able to come through. The Bible said, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord. So sometimes we need to get to then the Lord. You seeing people forsaking you, people turning their back, and people not being there for you. Well, God's saying, well, in order for me to step in, I got to get you to the then the Lord part. And things. So when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord and things. Maybe he's moving people around and out of your way so that he can get to you, so he can do what he wants to do in and through your life. Oh, come on, child of God. I feel like having some church right about now. Oh, throw up your hands and say, glory be unto God. God is able to do it on your behalf. Stop looking through your eyes. The report of man and believe God's report and what God is able to do. Say, God, I'm judging. I'm believing you. Lord, you turn my enemies away. Put a cloud between me and the enemy, oh God. Confuse the minds, Lord. Mess up the plan and the plot of the conspiracy of conspiring, Lord. Send in a benefactor, Lord. Send in Boaz to come and deliver, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God's able. All we have to do is abide him with the faith. He said he will reward you that diligently seek him. Keep seeking him on the matter and diligently seek him. That means not off and on, but diligently pursuing God and talking to God and saying, God, I trust you. I believe that you're going to do it. I believe you're going to come through. I believe you're going to make a way. And watch God do it on your behalf. Oh, child of God. Oh, Lamb of God. Lamb of God. He's wonderful. He's awesome. And so here in this lesson, we have stood on the curve of the biblical study and watched the parade of the people of faith go by. We must understand that we have seen only a small part of the parade. To see the whole parade is to see only God sees, or see how God sees. No man is alive or have ever lived who can grasp everything there is to know about what people of God can accomplish for God by their faith in God. Only we can only stand for a while and marvel at a portion of the parade as it passed by. Hopefully, we have seen enough to challenge us to believe more, God even more, For God wants us to grow in our faith. Child of God, God wants us to grow in our faith as never before. And so sometimes he allows those tests and trials to come our way so that we can grow in our faith. And I pray, oh, child of God, that on today, as you leave this airway or this lesson on today, that you would just go back and believe God and get something tangible. Like I said, I read my requirement for school and what all needed to be done. And what I did, I went all the way down to the finished place to get the paper for the dissertation to be written on and to believe God, that God, this is my action of my faith. I'm asking you, dear God, to enable me, to give me the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, the skills, the ability to accomplish this task. Now, what we may have to go back and do is say, well, I started out this thing doing it myself. Now, all you have to do is just say, God, forgive me for getting ahead of you. Forgive me for thinking that I could do this in my own strength. Father, I ask that you forgive me and I forgive myself. Now, God, I ask that you just intervene. Give me the help that I need. I need your help. I'm dependent upon you to bring me out. Now, when you fall humbly upon the mercies of God and the strength of God, God will help us. God will enable us. Yes, we can do it on our own, but why will we do it on our own when God said, I will be there to help you, to see you through? Turning back and allowing God. God, you can even say, God, I try to pursue my children. And the more I try to pursue them, it seemed like the more further they were getting away and going further back in the world and doing things that they know that they shouldn't do. That's when we come back and say, God, Lord, I need your help. You do it, dear God. You show me how to love them back to you. Show me how to look beyond their faults and their failures and what they're doing that I don't like, that I can reach and bring them back to you, oh God. You show me because I'm depending upon you, dear God, and things. And watch God do it in and through their life because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh within us. And so, child of God, I come to share with you that the God in which we serve, God is able to do it in and through our life. All we need to do is to trust God as never before. He will surely bring it to pass. Gracious Father, we thank you, dear God, for this time with your people. We ask, dear God, that you stir our faith and amplify our courage to wrought the things that need to be wrought in our life, that business, dear God, that Lord, next step, oh God, of that invention that you've given, Lord, that wisdom, that witty invention that you laid in the heart of that individual. Let them have the courage to go to the next level, not looking at the means in their own hands, but looking unto you, the author and the finisher of their faith, that you will get the glory of every step and every station that they have taken in their life. And Father, we thank you for the testimony that they will come back and say, Pastor Arm, God did it. God opened that door. God made that way. And Father, we thank you because you are a right now God, a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Father, we thank you, dear God, for meeting every need, bringing children home, turning their hearts back to God, opening doors, beating back the enemy, and casting down those things that come to overthrow your children. Father, we thank you, dear God, because by faith we believe that you can do all things but fail, dear God, and we choose to put our faith in your ability and in your provision and your resources and in your love and in your compassion and mercy that you have for us, oh God. Father, we thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name, amen. I pray that you have been blessed on today and that this word perhaps has encouraged your heart and encouraged your mind on today. We must recognize, children of God, it's about our faith. Faith and trust and believing God that God is able to do it. So go back out. I don't know what you're facing. I know the holiday is coming. I want you to believe God that he will take what you got in your hand and bless you because of your faithfulness to God and the things of God. He would do it. Because remember, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one prayer away from your blessing. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Child of God, oh child of God, God will do it in and through your life. Be thou encouraged. May God bless you, is my prayer. Bye-bye.